items available. Shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about an issue today that I believe should be priority for every Christian, for every pastor, for every church, for every conservative listening. We should be concerned about the rolling, rumbling tide of that which bodes for the future if the state of Florida endorses the amendment that's coming up on the next election ballot. If the amendment passes, it's the POT amendment, I call it. It is where they're asking you to vote yes or no on making the Constitution and the state of Florida changing the Constitution and allowing a POT to be sold with a, quote, constitutional right to be able to use it. And we're asking the question, should Christians participate? Should Christians be involved? And ladies and gentlemen, there's some that think that, okay, because God created the plant that is called marijuana, that because he created it, must be okay. So therefore, it's all right for us to, for an individual to smoke pot, to use pot. And by the way, just as our guest was saying just the other day on this broadcast, as we were talking about it, right now it's not just a person walking down the street with a pot in his cigarette or a roll or whatever it may be in his mouth, smoking and puffing the smoke. All the derivatives from the THC, from the marijuana, that is the gummy bears, the chocolate chip cookies, the powder that you can put into a cup of coffee or a glass of water where a person can use it. And employers will not even be able to say you can't do that and fire that person if they're on the job using it, because if that bill passes, the amendment passes, that person will have a constitutional right to use marijuana. And if it passes, and the states that have it, about 30 some odd states that already has that, it is a legal constitutional right in some states. Some it's just the legal passed by law. But if it is legal by legislation, if it is legal by an amendment, if the state says it's okay, does that mean it's all right for a Christian? I say absolutely, unequivocally not. Let me share 2 or 3 other thoughts, and then we'll take our next caller. According to the research on it, pot, marijuana, produces anxiety, depression, psychotic disorders, to the point where having dependence on others to support them. Schizophrenia is a major, major, major byproduct of using marijuana. Now I'm going to insert this. Just this morning, one of the news articles, psychotic medicines causes as part of the mass murder. No wonder Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr. promises to research the connection. In part, this major article says, Health and Human Services Robert Kennedy recently announced that the agency would be launching studies on the potential contribution of some of the antidepressant drugs and psychotic drugs that are contributing to the violence. The announcement came after the August 27th mass shooting of the children in Minneapolis Catholic School. Kennedy specifically said that he would investigate whether drugs taken by transgender mass shooters played a role in the shooting. And he goes on to talk about the psychotic, schizophrenic response of taking drugs. And it says here, one of the, a 12-year-old that recently shot his mom and daddy because he was angry with them because his dad had corrected him because he was in a fight with another lad the day before and corrected him for it. He said, and I quote, "I was lying in my bed that night. I couldn't sleep because my voice in my head kept echoing through my mind telling me to kill my parents." And it goes on to talk about, he says, "I got up, got the gun. I went upstairs. I pulled the trigger. I had thought through the whole thing. It was like watching my favorite TV show. You know what's going to happen, but you can't do anything to stop it." Ladies and gentlemen, that's the perfect illustration of what the psychotic effect is, causing the schizophrenia and other major mental disorders with a person using marijuana. So should a Christian participate? Is it okay for a Christian to use marijuana? I believe I have Jim on the line. Jim, go with your question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood, Dr. Phelps. How are you today?
Doing fairly well today.
Thank you.
Outstanding. Well, happy birthday, sir, for tomorrow.
Thank you.
Get that out of the way. I don't believe that Christians should use marijuana. I also believe that those that become addicted or start the use of these drugs, they're trying to fill a hole, a spiritual hole, mm-hmm. and they will suffer the repercussions of the use of drugs to try to find that meaning in life. And it's a sad thing indeed. Reaching out to these individuals with the message of Christ is the most positive way to help them remove themselves from that lifestyle and that drug. I do firmly believe in that. So the message of Jesus Christ is just as important today in our times as it was back in Paul's day, and it does help. It does remove those, you know, like you just said, the story about the 12-year-old boy there. It was like watching a movie I had no control over. Believe me, when you have Christ in your life, you have control over those things.
Right. Absolutely. Jim, let me put you on the spot for a moment and ask a question. What do you do with those that say, "I'm a Christian, and I believe it's okay to use marijuana"? Are they truly saved? Are they delusional? What, in your opinion, is there to that thought? I'm looking at Romans 12:21, and I'll just paraphrase, "Be not overcome with evil." No question about it. Evil, that word evil is the Greek word poneros, means bad, wicked, unacceptable, no good. So you can't calculate and call marijuana anything but that. And then the scripture that says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil, all appearance of bad, evil, wicked, rotten, wretched. So how do you respond to those that want to argue? And I've had the argument. I've had the debate. I've had the confrontation. Well, I'm saved. It's my body. I can do with it what I want to. I believe that it's okay. It helps me. And after all, I have headaches, and it stops the headaches, etc. How do you respond to that jargon?
The biblical phrase, I can't remember the book or the verse, but it's about when Paul says to bring your brother back to Christ, that you have to attempt that in love first. But if they continue and then you bring it to the second person, then you bring it before the church at some point.
Matthew 18, you know, is talking about church discipline. Yes, go ahead.
Yep, that's it. At some point, tough love has to be enacted. I truly feel for those individuals that are caught up in that, but I know that the saving grace of Jesus Christ can remove that from them. I know that for a fact.
Yes. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 6:12 said that all of these things are lawful, legal, okay, as far as the world is concerned. But Paul said, "I will not be brought under the control of evil." And that should be the mindset of a Christian, in my opinion. The mindset of a Christian ought to say, well, that's what the world says. That's what the law says. Law says it's legal. The world says it's legal. The woke progressive society says it's legal. But I make a decision. I will not be brought under the control and the domination of it. Jim, my position is, if we know that it's going to cause schizophrenia, if we know that it's going to cause an addiction, if we know that it's going to cause a major problem with learning and the memory process, if we know that it's going to cause mental, physical, and emotional development to slow down or to be deterred, if we know that, why should we do it? That's my mindset. That's my whole thought. Dr. Phelps, what do you say in relationship to that? And then we'll let you go, Jim.
One of the things that I'd like to state very clearly is that addiction to drugs ruins your life.
Yes.
For it destroys your effectiveness as a Christian witness. We cannot have a credible lifestyle if we use drugs, if we use those things that change us for the worst. I would like to say this: the most effective mind-altering substance in the world is the truth of the Word of God, the Gospel of Christ, for it changes your whole person for the better. We become a new creation in Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says that we're made to become part of the family of God. We're made to be a child of God.
Amen.
And that's the most important thing in the world.
Amen. Jim, I know you second that statement.
Yes, sir. I've got one more question here for both of you gentlemen there. Paul talks about the weaker brother in Christ.
Yeah.
And how does this factor into the equation of the topic today?
Dr. Phelps, what say you?
Yes, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And along with that, he says that all things do not edify. What he had in mind was others, how we affect the lives of others, our witness. We can either edify or hinder the spiritual maturity of people who know us. And so we need to allow ourselves to be brought under the subjection to the Lord.
Amen.
We need to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil. He'll flee from us.
That's right.
And we'll be a better testimony to others.
And Jim, I believe specifically the reference you're talking about is the Apostle Paul, because in his era, dealing with the church Christians at that era, some questioned whether they should eat meat, the residuum meat that was left over from the sacrifices and the altar of the false gods. And Paul says, listen, there's nothing wrong with the meat, but if you believe that it's going to harm you because it was offered to idols, then if eating meat offendeth my brother, I'll not eat meat. And it wasn't saying that meat was bad, and some vegans today said that's proof positive that we ought not to eat meat. So that's not what it's saying at all in context. But the Apostle Paul says, I put it in the Youngblood paraphrased edition, says, I'm not going to do anything that a weaker brother can see and cause him to stumble and fall. That was the statement. That was the belief. That was the position, the mindset, and the modus operandi of the Apostle Paul. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, sir, because even though it's meat or whether it's something else there, as a brother in Christ, that you should be an example or a leader of others through your lifestyles and through your choices, because we all learn from what we observe around us.
Well said, absolutely. Jim, brother, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Your input today. God bless you as we keep looking up. Dr. Phelps, I'm still looking at the long, long list of what I find in research from medical professionals that are not biased because of the industry itself, the pot industry. And says marijuana produces, doesn't say it, maybe it can, produces anxiety, depression, psychotic disorders. And we find, and ladies and gentlemen, I've done the research, every hear me, every major mass shooting, the individual was on some type of psychotic drugs, either prescription form or off the streets. Marijuana is a major, major, major component of that factor. Also, marijuana will, not a matter of maybe, will cause total dependence on the drugs daily. It's the gateway to harder drugs that will destroy one's life. It causes family division. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the use of marijuana, the ingesting of marijuana, the puffing of marijuana, anybody that participates in it, it causes family division. It will bring about divorce in the family. It will bring about foreclosures on the property, being kicked out of the homes. All of this is statistical data coming out of the state of California and Colorado, by the way. It produces poverty and dependence on the government to take care of you. That's proof positive in the research on the subject. So my question is, Dr. Phelps, if a Christian knows that it can cause divisiveness in the family, ultimately divorce, or the loss of the home or the family, loss of income, and poverty stricken as a result of it, why should a Christian be involved?
It's nonsense.
Nonsense. That's well stated.
We're told in the scriptures to abstain from all appearance of evil, mm-hmm. and that includes a lot of things, and I say specifically what we're talking about here today. Christians are supposed to be overcomers.
That's right.
Bible says don't be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Mm-hmm. And the best thing we can do is to avoid anything that may bring shame to God's name. And the use of drugs, alcohol, tobacco, all of those things and more, other things as well, will also identify us with a worldly person, mm-hmm. with the worldly crowd, not with the godly crowd. As I mentioned earlier, we have the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in us. Let me emphasize, that's the holy presence of God.
That's right.
And whenever we smoke cigarettes or when we puff marijuana or other substances and blow smoke in the face of God, the holy God who dwells in us, we are not honoring Him. And we become a poor testimony. We lose our effectiveness as a Christian witness. And we don't have a lifestyle that is credible in the eyes of people who know us.
Absolutely. I believe Brother Davis is on the line. Give us your question and comment, please.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Dr. Youngblood.
Thank you.
I just get in on this. I know you asked the question a while ago, if a person uses these narcotic things, is he saved? You know, I'm not going to be the judge of where a person is saved or not. That's up to God and between that individual. But also, you referred to the song about let others see Jesus in you.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, do others see Jesus in you? I've heard people say, well, if that way Mr. Smith lived down the road and he's a Christian, I don't want no part of it.
Yes.
So our influence is, Paul says, our life is like an open book. We're read and known of all men, and they're going to judge you whether it's right or wrong in their eyes. And so we got to be very careful as a Christian how the example we set before others.
You're exactly right. In fact, that's one of the things that I think on when I think about the question, should a Christian participate in the use of marijuana or pot, as I call it, because that's what some used to call it, what is it, dope? It makes one dopey, so that's exactly the right word, I think. But the bottom line is, just as you so well articulated, marijuana will provide a bad, evil, wicked influence on our family, on our friends and on those that we walk with and see each and every day. Just as you said, and so well stated, others will look and say, if that's a Christian, I don't want any part of it. But one of the things, Brother Davis, that I believe we need to recognize, and Dr. Phelps can speak to that, the Bible talks about a carnal man and a Christian, a carnal way of life and a spiritual way of life. And I believe that's the difference. Dr. Phelps, yeah. What do you say about carnality?
Yes, one of the things that I learned from reading the scriptures is that when we live a sinful lifestyle, we are telling the world, I want to live a carnal lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I want to live after the flesh. A worldly person wants to participate in the things of the world and things that please the flesh. He lives for the things that are what the Bible calls the lustful things, pride of life, according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. But we learn from 1 John 2, 17 that the present world is not going to last forever.
That's right.
And when the Bible tells us these things, we need to pay attention. The Bible says, and the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. So I want to be an overcomer. I want to overcome the worldliness of mind, worldliness of the way of the carnal person. To be an overcomer, we love the Lord with all of our heart, and we set our affections on things above, not on things of the world. I want to read a passage in the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are.
That's right.
That's a warning to us today.
Absolutely.
So when we defile the temple of God, we also grieve the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. So, Brother Davis, one of the things that Dr. Phelps is saying, and you've just so well articulated, is what we do, what we say, and what others see in us would indicate whether or not we truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if we understand our walk, our life, our lifestyle is a witness to others, we are to be a good witness slash influence on the world around us. That goes back to being salt and light in the society in which we're living in. So it deserves our prayer and our attention, and I'm thankful for you and for your call, for your input on the broadcast today. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Thank you so much.
So, Dr. Phelps, let's make a little change of direction, if you want to call it that, and get more into the aspect of what does the Bible say in relationship to this. The scripture, as I said earlier, Romans 12:21 says that we're not to be overcome with evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearances of evil. What does that mean?
That means we're not to give the impression to anyone that we are acting like the unsaved, mm-hmm. or we're participating in the things of the world, or the things of the ungodly, or the things of those who are overcome and enslaved to sin. Many people are under the dominion of sin, and we find that scriptures teach us that that's not something for us as Christians. We need to be under the control of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, be not drunk with wine or in excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
And so if we allow the scriptures to guide us in our Christian life, our walk, then we will bring honor and glory to God. If I'm filled with the Spirit of God, I don't want to be filled with drugs, mm-hmm. with alcohol, or other mind controlling substances.
Yes, in fact, Dr. Phelps, if I can jump in a moment, in that Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is within is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That word excess there, some think, well, I'm not to drink too much. That word wherein is debauchery. That's what that word means. So don't live a life of debauchery, the scripture saying there, but be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so that makes a vast difference.
Yeah, we should not be filled with intoxicating spirits.
That's right.
We need the Holy Spirit.
Yes, and the same thing applies with the alcoholic beverage. Same thing applies to what we're talking about with the pot, with the marijuana. If an individual knows that that's going to control their lives, God's Word is saying, allow only the Holy Spirit of God to control our mind, will, our motion, our thoughts, our actions, our activities, and the process of living, and not some outside influence that is demonically controlling our lives. Go ahead.
One of the things that Paul talks about and what Jesus talked about is freedom to serve God. Mm-hmm. And you can believe, as I do, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, He sets us free from the dominating evil habits of the immoral lifestyle and the ways of the ungodly. He frees us from the control of sin so that we're made free to serve God. I would say this, as I might try to sum up our thoughts here today, that when a person is controlled by one of these substances, such as marijuana or other drugs, he is not free to serve God. He is serving sin. And so that's, I believe, the motivating factor in my life. I don't want to be under the control of sin. I want to serve the Lord, because that's how we're going to be rewarded when Jesus comes. We're told in Colossians 3:23 to serve the Lord, because when He comes, He's going to reward us for our lifestyle.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. So therefore, we need to recognize what the Scripture is saying. The Word calls on Christians to walk worthy of our calling. Ephesians 4:1 says, Christians ought not to cause others to stumble. In fact, you just touched on it, and I'll read the verse in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, that means controlled, careful, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And that's exactly what takes place with the life of an individual that claims to be saved, that's participating in these substances. So the question needs to be asked, ask for the Christian, listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen, it's close. Ask, will what I'm doing cause my son, my daughter, my brother, my sister, or others to stumble? 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, talks about that. Ask if the use of pot will glorify God or self, or will it be an honorable witness toward others? Thirdly, ask the question and answer the life. We're called to have holy living, life before the lost world. So, Dr. Phelps, we've got about 20 seconds. Wrap it up.
Yes, one of the great things that we learn from reading the Scriptures, and I would recommend that all of us get into the Scriptures and learn what God has for us in the way of truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us down Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast